Let's go ahead and kick off today's meeting. There's not a lot on the agenda. I think you all looked at the minutes that were emailed out, and we had emailed our comments, so I don't think we need to go into that. So let's just go ahead and get started. We've got two things really on the agenda. One is the update from the subcommittee, and the other one is an update from the staff. So if we're ready, let's go ahead and do an update on from the subcommittee.
I know Holly looks like she's busy loading the presentation. Is that right?
I am, yeah.
So the core of it is a presentation, and I think the majority of the committee may have already seen it, at least a copy of it, but I don't know if the entire committee, I don't think so. The entire committee hasn't actually seen the full presentation. Is that correct? Or have you all?
We've seen just the PowerPoint, the slides.
But not discussion on it yet?
No.
Okay, so that's what we're hoping to do. So what we're hoping to do is, and sorry for the technology issue, we'll have that fixed here in a second. What we're hoping to do is just go through it, but stop at some key points, and certainly as you have comments or questions, because I know you've seen the material already, mm-hmm. just stop us. Just stop. I'm sorry, Holly. Holly's going to be the one doing the presentation, so just stop her when she's going through. Looks like we're close. Sorry for the delay, folks.
No problem. No worries. We're 4 minutes into the meeting. I think we're fine.
Okay.
So do you want the other part that happened in the meeting? Is so we've been asking or submitted these tags last time.
Mm-hmm.
I have three of them back because there's two tags per one. So I gave away about 16 tags. Supposedly the city said they hacked them all, but that's not what we're trying to do. Anything can be hacked. What we're trying to do is detect the hack.
Right.
So we haven't gotten all the ones I've gotten back. You can easily tell that they were hacked. So I don't know. We don't know what happened to the last ones. We don't think that they saved them. So again, these are still, you know, detectable. But I know there's another route that we're also pursuing multiple routes at the same time here. That's what Holly's about to go over with you guys. Very promising. But again, it's still no one's ever proved that tagging 2.0 hasn't worked yet because they've all been detected. That's kind of that. And then Holly will answer.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So I think pretty much everyone but Wayne has probably seen this because I get drop-ins from various members of the task force, and I have showed most of you this. So we have made some further progress and some further exploration has done on this. So I'll touch on that also as we go through this. So basically what we wanted to do is look at all the different proposed recommendations, and I'll go through this really quickly, but you know, obviously we wanted my goal was to incorporate as many different layers as possible that we could get with a potential solution. So we'll just kind of move through this. The focus obviously should be on 100% control. Just like Kevin said, we are not looking for hack proof. Nothing is hack proof, but we do want to know that any manipulation can be easily identifiable. That's what we're looking at moving forward, and that's what this system is based on. So different options that we're looking at so far are different components: the cable system, the Noki lock system, which I'll talk about in more depth, still trying to get a hold physically of some RFID tags. Those are very challenging as all the manufacturers are out of this country. The iSeal, we have a new review on that, the QuickSeal, and then also the Secure XP. So these are the new seals that we have been vetting over the last couple weeks, and we do have some new information on those. So the cable and swage, any system is only as strong as its weakest point. So this was a very promising cable and swage system that we were looking into. One of the things that has changed this week is that this particular cable and swage staff was able to circumvent, and I mean to the point that it was hacked and put together in a way that it was not identifiable. But during the tagging meeting that we had today, we think that we have come up with a potential solution that we were going to continue to vet. So now what we're looking at doing is this plastic piece that is over the swage actually hides the swage to the point that that's what makes it undetectable. So what we're going to be looking at now is still a steel cold press swage, but that will have lasered in identifiable random numbers Nobody knows what number they're going to get for the day, so you can't just go and have one laser done. So we would probably have 800 or 1,000 of these cables produced, with each one having an identifiable number, and we would be leaving off the clear shrink wrap along with the plastic that covers the swage. As long as we have, I think if we can see things without covering them as much as possible, it's going to be a better situation, because it is that yellow plastic shrink wrap that was, we were able to re-shrink wrap to the swage to the point. And we actually replaced the steel swage with an aluminum one, and you couldn't tell that it had been hacked. So I think leaving that component off is going to be helpful. So good news on that. So this particular swage and cable is off the table, but we're going to be looking at a new cable and swage system. Kevin actually, I think, might have some leads on a local cable company that can help out with that, and we'll hopefully have more information on that soon. The Noke lock is probably the most promising component of the proposed solutions that we have so far. I actually got confirmation from Noke today. We were able to find a reference to one of those hacking conferences, DEF CON 24, where the Noke lock was hacked. That was three software iterations ago. The Noke lock is now tested by third-party companies. The last two iterations of their software has not been hackable. They have sent me confirmation of that. And in addition to that, we would also be handing off this lock to our IT department to see if they were able to hack it. The nice thing about this is, even if you hack it with Bluetooth technology, when you open that lock, it basically saves your GPS location. So if that lock was opened outside of the park, even if it was hacked, we would know that that lock was opened outside the perimeters of the lake. So I still think this is an incredibly valuable component of the proposed solution moving forward. Within this, what we love about it is it's keyless. The keys are actually the Bluetooth communications on the assigned phones that staff would get. It's GPS enabled. So again, anytime that lock is opened, it sends a GPS location. The first thing our park rangers would see when they open the application is in fact the location that that lock was last opened. So I think that's what makes it incredibly valuable. They are also updating their software, available next year, with geofencing. So we could actually program this lock to not open outside of the geofence parameters that we set up within the Stanley Lake Park boundary areas. You can set up users and user groups, so accessing it can only happen through staff. And you can also set up scheduling. So I've been testing that. Basically saying the lock can't open between 8:30 p.m. and 6 a.m. So I have taken the lock home on several occasions, tried to open the lock. Even though I have access, it doesn't allow me to open it, because on a management level, I've set that to not allow access. So the testing on the lock has been really encouraging. And like I said, even if it were to be hacked, we would at least have the location, and I think that's what makes this a component that we should consider moving forward. It uses all Bluetooth 4.0 security. I don't understand all this. This is all IT jargon. It sounds really good though, right? End-to-end encryption, custom security layer. I'm gonna leave all that to IT to give us their opinion on this, but we're feeling really positive about it at this point. What's really nice is the portal. Like I said, as a manager, I can set up parameters that only allow certain people to have access. This is great for audit trails. We wanted audit trails to be an integral part of our solution moving forward. This information is retained pretty much forever. The cost of the lock includes access to the back-end user portal for the life of the lock. So you're not paying separately for service. Go ahead.
What is the cost of the lock about?
So this Nokē, basically these retail for $350, but because we're a government entity and for the use, they are offering them to us for $250 a piece. They have a 3 to 5 year battery lifespan. The other thing, you can obviously change the batteries out. You actually have to physically remove the entire locking mechanism, so it's not something anybody, even if you hacked it, has the ability to get to. It's on the internal compartments. This really helps, too, with the question that had come up about maintenance on boats. I can send a one-time use code to a boat mechanic, who then can open the lock. We can physically see that the lock is still there. We could even put a second lock on the boat that's not attached to make sure location-wise that that boat never leaves the shop. So this is really nice because we're not confining boats to the park area itself, and people could still store their boats off-site, providing we can, you know, find a cable and swage that we're comfortable with. The Nokē lock will work very well with it. We're still looking into RFID tags. This has been very challenging. Megan has also been helping me on this endeavor. I think if Jared is still in here, he also has been trying to find companies to actually respond to our inquiries. None of them are in the United States. It's very challenging. But we do have hope to still vet and look at these tags. But we didn't let that stop us. We've kept looking at other potential solutions. Originally, we were very excited about the iSeal. We've had these in our possession for about 2 weeks. Unfortunately, we have successfully been able to hack this in a way that is not visually identifiable, so that is now off the table. The QuickSeal is also off the table, but the Secure XP is still in play. We are still vetting that and have not found a way currently to circumvent and put it back together in a way that's not identifiable. So we're still hoping to add this as a second layer with the Nokē lock, providing we can find a cable and swage that we feel secure with using. Again, we're looking for layered protection, cable and swage. We still need to work on that piece, but I think we're making progress after our meeting today. Feeling great about the Nokē lock. The RFID are similar. That's where that Secure XP comes in, and certainly we'll be using the state mobile watercraft and inspector and decontaminator application.
Hey, Holly, I think it's an important point to talk about the RFID thing. It's another layer. Like, mm-hmm. literally, we're going to use it with the lock.
Right.
To lock the loop with a second device that holds it. Right? It's not correct. The sole front end thing. It's got some really nice capabilities in that it's another one of those things you don't even have to visually inspect it. If it's been opened, it stops sending the signal.
Right.
And right away the alarms go off, right? And no one has to visually look at it with a microscope or anything. Right. So it's important, we think, to have two of these things working together, and they're all gonna work with that cable. That cable thing's critical. The Nokē lock is looking awesome. The RFID thing, if we could just break through these people in China, we could probably make some progress there too.
Absolutely. And again, it is all about the layered protection. I think that you know, that certainly is a strategy we're continuing to pursue, and we think is an integral component of any successful program moving forward. So right now, though, we still need to find the cable and swage, still having issues with the RFID. Nokē, I feel great about. I just need our IT department to look at that and potentially a third party to test that. But we're still moving forward. So until we get the padlock or chain, we got to check that box off still. But until we have that component, we haven't yet put together a complete, more rigorous and secure tagging system. But slowly, we are getting our boxes checked in terms of meeting the criteria of a secure program moving forward. So the cable and swage was definitely a bit of a setback for us this week, and you know, but after meeting with the tagging committee today, I think we came up with some really good ideas to move forward with on that. So
just to throw out cable and swage comments also, we used a cable and swage, just used at a different lake in California, where they use similar locking mechanism to the padlock, but they don't use no key.
Right.
And they were using that cable and swage because it has the name of their lake on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the plastic cover-up part is actually a detriment to what we're trying to do, but it was helpful to Casitas because they just wanted a simple thing to put your name on.
Right.
And a number. So they used a heat shrink thing. Turns out that heat shrink thing hides way too much stuff. And if you take that off there, I think all we got to do is work our way around that. So we're trying to use off the shelf, used it another lake component, and we'll get to a more customized solution for Stanley.
And then to add to that, one thing to note on that swage is it's fully detectable when you do your audits. So that whoever would deter that swage it would be fully caught at the end of the season or whenever they decide to do the audits. Because it's just a simple, once you take that shrink wrap off, you can see it's a different swage. It was hacked. So that's why we're going with just a more clear swage. So again, you can just detect that hacking simpler.
And again, this was a tentative target implementation. And again, I mean, we still have other components that we are needing to put together. So I think the main takeaway from this tentative target implementation is just understanding all the different layers that will need to be analyzed, looked at, and vetted along the way. So still obviously hoping to hit this target. But I mean, there are definitely some components that are yet to be determined at this point. So that's kind of where we are with all of this. And so the sooner we can come up with these options, obviously, the better. And we're working diligently to do that. So that's all I have for now.
Just for the record, now that we've reviewed this with the task force, we'll be uploading, once we have it ready, I can't remember, the PowerPoint to the information share.
It looks like they have it, so...
I mean, on the website.
Oh, on the website, yeah. Absolutely.
We'll do that as soon as
possible.
Yeah,
and if Brett, if you want to share that with the Friends of Stanley Lake...
Yep. That'd be great.
I'll need this version. Holly, the one I have has some other slides in here that we do not want to publish.
Okay.
That first version, I know, is 3 or 4 more extra slides.
Okay. You mean with the X's on it?
No, this is just newer. Our other one had some other things to discuss and what have you. We'll do this one.
Okay.
So we have the same, everybody should have the same version.
Absolutely. Yep.
Is this the one that Joe had?
No, this one I just finished today. So I'll send you an updated version to put on the task force.
Holly, can you comment just a little bit for the task force? Just where in the timeline do you see critical points? We talked about them in the subcommittee thing. Critical timeline points. Obviously, it's all going to come together at the end, but buying paddle locks, right, seems like there is absolutely a deadline, and you told us that there's some comfort there. Do you have any other? I mean, I'd share the paddle
lock. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of moving parts. There are a lot of different departments involved, city attorney's office, public works, city manager, you know, I mean, there are a lot of different departments that obviously, you know, I don't have control of their timelines. But this has to pass muster with a lot of different folks. As far as just the hardware pieces of it, I would need to order the Nokia padlocks by October of this year to have them ready to go. I mean, certainly we want to have all components of it put together in advance, but the Noki lock is probably the most imperative because each one of those locks has to be programmed, assigned to a permit holder. So we would, you know, I mean, potentially still be shooting to, you know, be selling permits early so that once we have the names of the permit holders, we would be assigning those locks and getting them out. But the lead time on the cable and swages I had was 3 months, but we're not obviously pursuing that same cable and swage company. But the lead time on the Nokia locks is 4 to 5 months.
And I would guess with the level of customization we're talking about on that cable, it's going to be 3 months, right? We're going to have to get some samples and get all that done. But by the time you give them a PO and say, hey, I want 1,000 of these, it'll take them 3 months probably to manufacture. So we'll work to that same timeline.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a guess. But, I mean, Jason, you can probably speak better to you know, the different layers of approval that this proposal. You know, in addition to that, we need to probably, you had mentioned, putting a committee together to basically vet this.
Yeah, what I suggested is to kind of get this really moving forward if this is something that we endorse as a task force. Grant, I think the glaring question remains to be, and it sounds like you guys are almost there for the meeting you just had, but the glaring question seems to be the cable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because that kind of, I mean, pun intended or not, ties everything together. So it's, but we talked about turning this over to an internal committee of IT, City Attorney's Office, Public Works, Parks, Recreation, and Libraries to get moving, you know, steadfast. To get the program set up, those types of things from a program side. I mean, just there's so many things on my mind, but from that I'd be looking for from staff, review of policy. This is essentially a new program. I mean, it's not, but it is. You know, when people are signing up to get their permits, we need to be clear about what the expectations are of the new equipment and how we're going to be doing the monitoring and those sort of things. Or people can choose not to do it, but we want to be clear about that up front. Otherwise, that's minimal. We can figure that out pretty quickly. But it's you know, I am, as I continue to say, very optimistic that this is a realistic timeline that you've put together, Holly. And just, I'm assuming and hoping that the cable issue will be resolved fairly quickly so we can start moving forward the rest. But I don't see any reason why we can't get the internal folks queued up right now to start no key review and these types of things without, you know, having to order so many until we're certain, but start getting some on site for testing purposes and getting it onto our city system, right?
Yeah, and I am still waiting from Nokia, and I should have it. I spoke to the rep today. I should have the commercial grade lock of Nokia next week because it works on a totally different set of software and protocols. So I do not have in my possession the actual Nokia lock that we would be using moving forward. The one I have is available to the public and does not have the security layers that the one that ultimately we would be going with has. So hoping to have that in my hands this week.
Placing that order in October, too, does that enable you to have the 2020 technology with the geofencing mechanism in that commercial?
I don't know that yet. Okay. Yeah. I mean, but it would have the GPS. It would It would have everything but the geofencing. I just know that that's coming out, that they were just acquired by another company.
Okay.
And that is their target. He wasn't sure what month. But
it would
just roll out. The technology, the hardware would already exist. We wouldn't have to change up the locks. It wouldn't require different locks.
Just when it was available, it would activate.
It would automatically be part of the software.
Do a system update.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Would it be fair to say we'd still be highly interested even without the timing being known?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so I mean, I really like that feature. The GPS, I mean, is key.
Yeah.
The geofencing is yet another layer I really like about that product.
And it doesn't require new hardware. It's just essentially software integration.
Correct.
With the existing hardware.
Yes.
Just the fact that we're talking about an approval process makes me feel good. We're making progress here.
Absolutely.
So what would the tagging mechanism look like now? You've got a cable, you've got a swage, you've got a Nokia, and possibly an RFID.
Yeah, I mean, I can basically physically show you what that looks like just to get a kind of an idea. So this is the swage and cable that we won't be going with. We're still hoping to do a smaller, thinner cable because it's not like we need 15,000 pounds
right.
per square inch of pressure. And these are the ones we have currently reattached and hacked. What we'd be doing is just wanting the bare swage, but now we're looking at individually stamping each one with a randomized 7-digit number so that coordinates with the state WID application. And each time you came, you would get a different cable. We take it off your boat, and you'd get a different one back
right.
each time, so you wouldn't have time to go to a machine shop and say, hey, I want that particular. And we're even considering, since it's laser engraved, doing randomized symbols on it, so you don't know which number or symbol you're going to get for the day. It's only going to be off your boat long enough for you to go boat, and then we would hand you out a different cable and swage.
to go. I'm sorry, Tim. I'm just taking over. So this is the Nokia lock, and again, this is not the. I think you all saw the picture. It's a square lock, commercial grade. This is the consumer grade Nokia lock. I literally need to come within 3 inches of this on my iPhone to hit open. But right when I come into its perimeter, it shows me the last location that the lock was opened. Then I have to be an authorized user on that iPhone. All Rangers have iPhones issued to them for use while they're on duty, so only those phones would have basically the permissions given. So as soon as you get close to it, it would come up because we'd program this with whoever the permit holder's name and their permit number. So it would say the permit holder's name, their number, last known location, and then you have to physically hit open. It just opens the lock. At that point, we would take the lock, keep it at the tag station along with a cable, a different cable each time though. And then when you, because the lock itself would have to go with the permit holder.
And just to reiterate, because Holly brought this and we put it on my desk and I was playing with it. And the other part, it's not just the ability to open it with an iPad or whatever. It's the information that's stored inside of it. So it would alert staff. We talked about the system being identifiable. If something were to happen with a lock, staff would know. There'd be an alert there that says, the lock had been removed. The date and time that the lock had been opened. It keeps that data on there, and I was frankly blown away when I started just playing with it. Oh, there it goes again, and giving her these alerts that something was being done to the lock. Yeah. You know, by the way, something to consider, we talked about this thing at one point, I think this is a fair approach. I think this is a solid approach. I haven't heard the term concerned about Big Brother mentality in this type of discussion. We've heard it before, though, in previous task force. I just want to put that out there. But what I see, I think, is really good. We're not trying to track people per se, but in fact we could, just to be clear about that. Holly, is that fair?
Yeah.
You could track a boat.
Yeah.
And see when that's the last location that I opened. It was at my office. So it shows me right on Stanley Lake.
And by the way, that's what I meant by introducing the new program. If we do, in fact, go with Nokia and it offers this technology, it includes GPS and data tracking, someone could also choose not to sign up for the program, right? They could say, I don't want this, so I'm not going to get a permit this year. But at least they know they have the choice to do that.
And I think this system, the other thing to kind of add to what Jason's saying is the system itself, instead of being something that shows like your Uber app, where the thing is and you can watch it turn down streets, right. That isn't really its intent. That thing's intent is if that lock pops open, it knows where it was. Yeah. And by the way, it doesn't spend battery cycles, thank God.
Because it's not tracking.
They have to be recharged all the time because it's not doing that tracking 24/7. It's doing opening tracking with GPS coordinates. That's what makes it super efficient. You don't have to recharge the lock.
This is the Secure X tag that I was just telling you. This one's open. You can see they're barcoded or QR coded as well. So this is the I just got these in this week. So that's what I can. If you guys want
to. So you'd have the Nokia in addition to either an RFID or this.
Yep.
That would be on.
Be the second layer.
So you'd have two locks on the cable.
Yep.
And these would also be used for your boats that are sitting, like the 35-day quarantine.
Yep, I can get these in red, so that could indicate
so
the
boats
in quarantine. They would have the Nokia lock on them, but because obviously there's no differentiation in the look of the Nokia lock, we can get these in any color we want. So red could be you're in quarantine, and green, I'd probably get, clear, white. All of them are clear, obviously, to see the mechanism. So. But we have not figured out a way to hack these yet. I'm not saying it's impossible. This whole process has been quite an education for me.
I bet.
Absolutely. I work for the FBI.
Yeah. And we still are hoping to get our hands on the RFID tags that send out the signal. Once those are cut or manipulated in any way, they stop sending out a signal.
Good, thank you.
Good, thanks.
So physically, that's what it would look like.
Oh, what benefit does the RFID tag really add on top of what you've already described with the cable and that lock?
You know,
what else does it give us?
Just another layer.
That you don't have to look at.
Yeah.
No, both these are eyes off, I think, is the benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very easy
so it doesn't put the sole impetus on a seasonal ranger that's been standing in the sun for 9 hours mm-hmm. that day
okay.
to try to find that manipulation.
Got
if,
it.
If the RFID tag isn't sending out a signal, it's been manipulated.
Okay,
with.
Got it.
Yeah.
And I think the way to think about this is just a way to get started. Next year, who knows? Year after, we find out that, hey, the RFID thing's been nothing.
Yeah.
You can have a logical discussion about what could be eliminated.
Because the lock itself, although one device, has multiple layers built into it. So it's already a multi-layer.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is the RFID an essential part of the 2020 approval, or just something you can add on later?
Same place as the lock.
Oh, it's just redundancy.
And the RFID hooks on just the same.
Again, just to give the...
So you just have two tags on.
Water quality, I think.
I understand it's redundancy, but from the city's perspective, or from Holly's perspective, is it an essential part?
That's why that's the weakest point.
Or just something the city can add on later? Because the lock's alone sufficient for going through the approval process.
I don't know if you heard that question.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
It was okay. The question, I think, was that is RFID contingent? Is RFID a driver to have the program installed in 2020? Meaning if there is no RFID, is it that we're not going to pursue 2020?
No, I think this tag right here that's not RFID is if we, you know, again, if it's, I mean, everything's circumventable. We've already established that. But if you can't get this back together without it being visually seen, this tag is fine with me. Anything that can be utilized by staff that is easily identifiable visually, these are completely clear. I'll be happy to pass these around. You know, I mean, would be a fantastic component of the program.
I guess
I mean,
maybe,
again,
that's what I was getting at is if there's difficulty in obtaining the RFID piece, if there's a substitute for that does essentially the same thing that is obtainable,
that's
why
right.
not that?
Well, I guess my question was a little bit more. Is the lock alone, if you solve the swage problem, sufficient to seek approval from the city, or do you feel you have to have that extra layer to seek approval? So I'm all for adding that extra layer. You can add it 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, but is that, in your mind, essential, or is the lock alone, given that the lock alone has a bunch of layers on it already?
I don't think that. It's not up to me, but I'm going to say that I think the second layer is for the permit holder's protection. Technology is not infallible. What if this lock does something that gives us the wrong signal, but your tag is still completely intact? I mean, that's why I would feel better with a second layer. It's both for your protection and mine. But, I mean, you know, my iPhone locks up and, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's just me. I don't trust technology 100%. I would like a second layer where, you know, to fall back on. I mean, I think that's part of, I mean, do you have another option?
Well, I just think that the layering is consistent with both the Friends of Stanley Lake recommendations, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
We can change that tonight, but, and staff and this task force said layering is preferred. So I agree with Max. So if there's something that's out there that we can actually get and works for our Rangers, let's have at it and have that and, you know, moving forward. So, but I get what you're saying because here again, I haven't said it any different way, is that if there is a detection of a problem, it's mandatory quarantine. So we do want to protect the permit holders. We don't want folks to have a false positive, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, and then can't enjoy the boat for how many days?
35
days. So I think that the idea of having a backup so staff could at least have, sounds like the two, if you count the cable, really three things to look at does make sense to me. But I would say I feel really comfortable about the cable and the no key. I really do. frankly, I think from the hardware standpoint, in my mind, what sticks out is just finishing the decision on this cable.
Yeah, and it really is the fact that the swage is covered that you can hide the fact that it's been hacked. So to the tagging committee's point, though, we are also dealing with these in a controlled environment. So we have the opportunity to put that cable and swage into a vise and cut it open. The committee has suggested that any further hacking we do, that cable and every component of our system needs to be hanging off a boat. I mean, that is a different...
Yeah. Real world.
That is a different world, because I can tell you the sparks flew when we cut that swage off.
So all the hacking that's been done, people aren't going to do on their boats. They're soaking those tags in heavy degreasers. You're not doing that inside your boat. So these are all controlled hacks, and then they're not taken in consideration. You still have to pull that through the loop with the tags that were on it. And then back to the locks and the cable, either one of that lock or that clear tag that she was showing is good alone, standalone system.
I think what you said was really important. I think that as we move forward, because questions will be asked.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you move forward a program that you knew could have been hacked? Well, hold on. We move forward a program that hacking was done in an environment, and basically what you just said, okay, it would be very helpful to restate, and we're moving forward a program that is detectable, is what we're talking about. But when folks get hung up on hacking, say, yeah, we know that anything is possible, but we also have faith that our staff can easily identify that. Oh, and by the way, all the testing of hacking was done in an environment that's nearly impossible, sounds like, to do inside of a boat.
And note that you only get one shot at it. So yeah, they're getting better every time they hack.
So what you just said, I think,
you get one shot to hack that cable on your boat. You don't have another one.
Yeah.
And that's why people were hacking the old system, because you could get multiple tags on your boat.
And why that matters to me is that, because people will ask questions. People will say, oh, wait, you're moving for a hack program, so we need to have our talking points just as well for folks that are the non-builders. And people say, what are you guys doing? Just describe what you just said, I think, was helpful. You know, so people understand how the hacking was done. And then further, more, and on top of that, the program that will be introduced is one that's detectable.
And I think that's why the RFID thing, again, both of those don't take anybody even looking at them. You can close your eyes and tell whether or not the thing was circumvented. Opening your eyes is good. I'm not saying we shouldn't check boats in closing their eyes. But we have to couple all these things together, and the less that requires a guy who's been standing there in the sun for 9 hours to do 100% work is better. It will be better for everybody.
Because they may see 200 tags in their shift. And yeah, I mean, but that's what I've got for now.
Thank you, Holly. And guys, that wire tag that Holly was showing that we're still working, that one's not been packed. Nobody's the clear plastic one. So that one's still in the running, and the RFID one's still in the running. And there are many people that make the plastic one. They're used on your gas meter, your cable watch, all sorts of stuff. The other thing I think is important for people to think about, on Jason's point of controlled environments for where they're trying to do this stuff, some of those tags that are hackable, the government uses in nuclear facilities. But you can't take your tool set and your grinder and your all these things in a nuclear facility. So they have their own controlled circumstances. An open boat on a trailer is another controlled circumstance that has to be the test bed that we put all these systems through now. That's kind of the way we're thinking about it.
Well, my question is, we've talked about the RFD and we've talked about the Secure XP, and you're still trying to get contact with the...
I'm in contact with them. It's like 2 weeks in between every exchange of emails.
So we're talking about one or the other, correct?
No, I would like to put that forth as a component for the different, you know, folks that will be vetting this outside of our staff down the road. I think the more different options that we can put on the table that we feel confident about, the better. So I want to continue to look for solutions, and however many layers that ends up being for the ultimate, you know, solution,
is however, it may be two of those layers, it may be one of those layers, it may be three. I don't know. I just think the more things that we can propose that we feel confident in, obviously the better for everyone involved.
Absolutely. If I might, just really quick, if you don't mind,
sure.
I just want to thank Holly specifically. Her and her staff have put huge amount of time and effort into this. Holly identifying the Noki lock and kind of some of these new and innovative options, I think is just worth stating. We certainly haven't got an approval on anything yet, but I think we've made some real progress, and in large part due to Holly's work, and certainly Fossil has some part of that as well. But she's done a ton of work on this, in addition to running a lake operation out there. So just wanted to give a thank you from Public Works side that she's done a ton of work on this.
Absolutely.
One other thing I'll just say is that, you know, before, I did not know the results of the subcommittee because obviously I wasn't there and things, but I can tell you that before the subcommittee, Holly alerted to me that, oh, no, now we have another step back. Her disappointment was visible. Again, I just want to just give kudos the amount of time and effort she is putting into this. To move forward voting, it's been extraordinary, and I'm really proud of her. And I'm proud of all the efforts of everyone, too, by the way. I just, again, I want to take the opportunity, since we're all back together, just to restate the amount of time that everyone is putting into this is extraordinary. We're getting real close.
Thank you, Holly.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
Holly. And the tagging committee is amazing. I mean, you know, I definitely was disappointed walking in there today, and, you know, we put all our heads together, and we walked out of there tonight with another option for another potential solution, so it feels good.
That's great. Are there any other questions on the presentation?
My only comment would be try and steer away from the Chinese, because what happens is they make a company, they reverse engineer something, they steal it basically, make a bunch of product, then they're gone. Sourcing something locally would be ideal.
Yeah, I mean, Megan can attest. She basically came back with one company, the one I've already been in contact with, and only found one other, and they were not local. I cannot find the RFID tags locally anywhere in the United States, and she hasn't been able to either. So if anyone can find them, I would be more than happy to explore those options. So
I gotta believe it's available. The whole logistics world in America works off of RFID now. They didn't all get it from China. So
it's, yeah, and the website, like this specific tag, like I think you're on track with having the right one with the correct loop and the way that this tag works. And so that's what I ran into when I started digging pretty hard, was RFID is readily available in the United States, but this specific RFID that we were looking for was really hard.
Yeah, well, and I think that's part of it is because anything that's mass produced, I don't want someone to just be able to go out and buy a duplicate of what we buy. So I need it to be highly customizable, issued with particular, non-sequential, randomized. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those components need to feed into it for us to feel confident that we're not getting a product that you can run down to the dollar store and pick up a bag of them.
But as of right now, we have that other clear tag that's
proof,
so we don't necessarily need the RFID.
No, I would like it, but I mean, certainly the Noki offers so many different layers between the GPSing and the user groups and the scheduling. There's four different layers at least within the Noki lock. I think it would be nice to have a mechanical component as well, so we're not completely driven on technology. But yeah, I think I'm feeling good about this other tag as well. We just need some more time to vet it and make sure that we feel confident moving it forward.
Well, I guess that's the reason why I was asking about the that other tag, because if we're looking at layers and we have one that we know the Secure XP you could get. You could get in different colors. And I understand wanting to have all the layers to send forward. But if it's going to take months to get a hold of these people to get it so that we can send it forward, then I'm thinking we need to really be looking at what we already know we can get, and so that we're not waiting months and months and months so that we can reach a timeline. So that was one of the reasons why I was asking that. I mean, I definitely believe we need the two layers, but I don't know if we have to wait until we can find the right REID compared to having this and the Secure XP to move forward.
I agree with you. I do. I think that I don't see that derailing this, mm-hmm. the RFID or not. I see the idea of a mechanical of some type and the Nokia being, I think, the layering. The cable's a layer. The Nokia has several layers. And then the other component, RFID or not, would have an additional layer. And I think, I'd ask the task, you guys, too, the same question, but it feels like we're at the layering goal that we talked about.
I
it feels
agree.
Like we're detectable, not we're not going to get hackable, but detectable is there. I mean, yeah, but if we could pull, if we can get that tonight, that'd be great. If you feel that this is the right path and you feel like if all that came together, and we think it will, if that's something you can support, that'd be fantastic.
Does the scheduling tool on the Nokia lock, like I know when I talked to you, you're trying at your house at different times at night and things like that, but will that also allow you to set that long of a quarantine? So from the time you put that lock on a boat, it will allow you to not let it open for 35 days?
It doesn't, because it works across all the locks.
Okay.
But maybe I could look into that. Maybe I could move a lock to a different user group and have a different schedule set up for that. That's actually a really good idea, so that you physically couldn't open the lock while I was in quarantine.
That's why I really like the second layer too, because if that comes in red, then you know the young seasonal employee that's working out there would visually have something like that. But if it was like impossible for them to open it, even if they tried, then that would kind of be that extra.
I could create a whole new user group of boats under quarantine, and then
maybe we should
set the schedule up, or make it so that a full-time staff member had to release that boat, and it couldn't be opened without an FTE status in the users or something of that nature. Definitely something to think about, and that is one of the things about the Nokia I like, is that we can set up these different layers on the back end through the portal. So.
Cool.
So I see there's kind of two, I'm not going to call them bottlenecks, but I guess the next steps would be you got to look at the cable and the swage, right, in a real-world environment,
mm-hmm.
and then continue to work on the that clear mechanical lock, and at the same time, we're going to continue to look at RFID technology, but for now, we could maybe move forward with the mechanical lock and the cable, at least testing those in real-world environments.
Yeah, the cable is something we don't have. So the cable that we had is absolutely something that we, at this time, we can break into it and put it back together, and it's not detectable. So we are now looking at...
It's detectable, but not every time you come in.
Right.
Yeah,
but
I mean...
I think if you take that plastic stuff off there right now,
mm-hmm.
it would be very clear that thing.
Well, that's true. Yeah, and then we could just move forward with the machine engraving, like, you know, down the road, knowing
that's
where
the insurance comes in, too. If you know you're going to be audited, everyone be audited.
Yep.
In the season. Just like you know you're going to get a DUI, you're probably not going to go drive.
So the cable is critical path. There is no denying that. We have to get a critical path cable set of solutions, and our commitment tonight to Holly was that when we do this, we'll do a production run of like 30 so that we can keep 10 aside as controls.
Mm.
We can give 10 or 15 or 20 out to let people monkey with. And you can look at the control and look at the thing and see if it's passing.
And we have people willing to volunteer their boats so they can try and hack them on the boat
right.
trailer side.
Right, in the real world environment.
We also, to Holly, we've got... couple things we're working on. We're still using through hole. I guess that wasn't said.
Yeah, it was listed up there, but
connecting mechanism is absolutely in play here.
That was on that one slide.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
A check mark.
Yeah.
So there are a couple things on through hole that make that a little more usable for a larger quantity of boats, which is something to do with the round ring, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got a couple ideas and things that we're working on that. And we've got one that would be really good, which is something that would go through through the drain plug and then allow you to hook on that on the outside in one little piece of metal. Collie has one that's very close, if you want to hold that up, Collie.
Yeah.
It's very close. It's just not quite small enough at the end you want to hook on. We find one of those that's hookable, which we had one when we first started meeting as a fossil group. We've got to get that back to Collie and get her a solution on that. That will help with some boats with exposed drain plugs. It's awesome.
So what we're looking is something smaller that can fit through the drain plug, and then we can be looping through there, mm-hmm. and people don't have to drill holes in their boats.
Right.
Or it's an aluminum fishing boat, and maybe it doesn't make sense to drill holes in the aluminum sides of the fishing boat. So, but these are anodized aluminum. What?
It's a recovery.
Yeah. I've been climbing shops lately. So, yeah, we were even looking at all kinds of different things, but we decided this wasn't.
Could I see that?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. So it would have to be smaller to fit through the drain.
Right.
But that's the concept. Anyway. Yeah, you got the little rings too. So, mm-hmm. But you still got to fit that through the drain or the switch, the drain plug.
So the next steps are working on the cable itself and the swage.
Well, and again, Britt's right. The cable and swage we actually have will work as long as we don't have the plastic sheathing on it.
Right.
And
well, I mean, we've already tested it.
So you're comfortable with that without the plastic sheathing?
I'm comfortable as long as we can get it laser engraved with identifiable numbers, yes.
Okay.
Is that the one you modified? Can we just cut the plastic off, or do you need it on?
No, I mean, we can cut the plastic off because you'll really see it because we used an aluminum swage in place of the steel. I couldn't get it off, though, because we glued it on so well. Yeah.
But the reality is that
yeah.
that was not that hard to do. That thing is not on there for any reason other than Casitas needed a serial number.
Right, so we don't truly have to have that.
We used liquid metal to put it back on.
You
so
did a good job.
That's
fine.
You're not going to do that. I'm
learning so much about adhesives.
Yeah. You're
proud. It's getting there.
Well, if you're going.
Tyler at the park did that. So
this one up and over that.
Pretty good.
Back part to loop into here. Depends on your trailer.
And we talked about a component of the swage. If we had someone laser engraving the non-serialized 7-digit codes on it, I think it would behoove us to have that machine shop sign an NDA or some type of agreement so that if someone came to them and asked them to do the same type of laser engraving, that would not be an option. So I think that's another layer of just making sure that we're getting it from a reputable dealer that is willing to put their signature on the line with them.
Absolutely.
I'm just talking about lengths of cable, if it's too long and there's a loop in there, if you're driving it and it gets snagged on something. But you could wrap it around the frame of the boat a couple of times or even have multiple lengths of cable for different sized boats.
Yeah, we've been talking about that as well. You could even, if you had it through the hole, you could pull it somewhere in the boat and just have a clamp so that the extra is being pulled in.
Yeah.
So your no-key lock doesn't fall and hit the pavement as you're driving down the road. I don't think it would do well in that sort of
thing.
But the shorter the cable, the less susceptible it is to
be. We want all the cables to be the identical for audit purposes. Mm-hmm. So some boats are going to need a 6-foot cable. Some boats are going to need a 10-foot. So we are going to have to consider having them make up that slack. But I think it behooves us to have all the cables identical for audit purposes. So if we go to hang up a cable and it's 4 inches shorter than it should be, that's another layer we know we got a problem.
And the boat owner needs to be educated on how it's tagged, how that Noki lock sits when it's in transport,
mm-hmm.
and how you're going to, hold on to the slack, basically.
I think I'll probably have more people at our open houses than we've ever had before.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying that like that's an option.
I'm just saying.
That's great. We'll educate them.
In the packet.
Yeah.
Come also.
Well, I think it'll be up to staff because we'll be installing the lock on each person's boat as they were to come in, providing this all obviously moves forward. At that time, we would take a significant amount of time to make sure we're explaining the system, how the lock needs to be on their boat, what their options look like. You were nice enough to do stickers. We are still wanting to do the identifiable tag location. He brought 10-year stickers, like they won't come off in the weather. I have so many things in my life these days, in black and white. But basically, staff would know, this is where you put the cable in the lock. We would put these on the boat. There's definitely a lot of different components at play here. But when the boat owner were to come in, we would have a checklist of things that we are going over with each and every permit holder so that they understand the program in its entirety.
And I tell you, for me, introducing a new program like this, there would be a mandatory meeting for permit holders to get a general orientation just to make sure everyone understands what we're doing. So, again, probably in the whole scheme of things, minor. But again, when you have that new program, person buys a permit, along with that is an expectation you show up on one of these 3 nights to get orientated on the new program type of thing.
So let's say we get past the swaging and the either the RFID tag or the other tag. Is the city willing to commit to move forward to say yes for 2020?
At this point, I can't see anything that stands in the way other than the things that have identified tonight, which primarily is a cable. And so what I would like to do is to, as long as you're comfortable with what we talked about tonight, and I think you are, but I want to make sure that, then get IT, CAO, the other groups together and having this done at the staff level. Getting all the rest of the pieces done, the new policies in place and whatnot, while we then move forward and look to put in, sounds like a large order in October for a 2020 program, which that was represented on the, I think, on the draft timeline, more or less,
mm-hmm.
right?
It was.
Yeah, it's on the little timesheet thing back there.
Well, I'm comfortable moving forward.
Oh, absolutely, me too. Yeah. I think this is awesome.
I think there's consensus right there.
Awesome.
Yeah, I want to dial the cable side, but it sounds like that's pretty easy to overcome, and then application in the real world on boats, but everything else I feel completely comfortable with.
So do you want to just, I know this is going to take time, email us an update? Do you guys want to get together again in another month to see in person? Get an update, or are you comfortable with getting updates on the email? Because essentially, it's staff really taking it from here.
We're good either way. Here to serve and come up with solutions. But you're right. We do need the time to get through those steps. We could put it back on staff to say, look, as soon as we have a significant update beyond just an email, we'd like to do it. Go ahead, Max.
I would suggest, why don't you not schedule a next date, but
this time, yeah.
Allow, as Jason said, allow us to work with attorney, the departments that are most affected, and when
if and when we have a reason to come back to you for another step, we would do that. If there's no reason to come back to you for anything, we just press on.
Okay, that was going to be my question. It's like, how are we going to know? Because I'm one of those who wants to know.
Well, you would certainly continue to get information. I'm just saying, we may not need another meeting by your task force. You've already said go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
If what you're saying tonight is go, and we validate, yes, that's doable, then there's really no reason other than to just keep you in the loop, but to get you back together.
Yeah.
Does that
yeah,
seem
I would
right?
say that perhaps maybe if there's any modified direction other than what we of significance, by the way, of what we talked about tonight, of what we're agreeing to move forward with, then we bring our group back together. As far as ongoing communication, we would be happy to communicate every time we have steps, when we order, when we find out information from IT, when we get
the commercial Nokia.
We could be happy to just say, hey, this happened this week. This happened this week, you know, type of thing, if that works for you.
So, I would like that, just because I would like to keep on the loop. And people that I have talked to that are interested are like, hey, what's happening? You know.
So we'll leave it up to Holly and the subcommittee to figure out the swaging and the cable and then the tagging, the secondary mechanical tagging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The subcommittee is going to keep meeting.
Yep.
Right? We got work to do.
Yeah.
And when we have updates, I'm sure we'll feed those back.
Okay. Perfect.
And if we have an update that you want to do a hands-on demo, we'll do a hands-on demo. Meanwhile, we're going to do some hands-on demos to individual people to see what they think of the system.
Nice. Yeah. My only reserve on not having a physical meeting set is the city not coming back like the whole month of June, not really having any updates. If it maybe helps push the city along, but if the city will commit to, you know, keeping us updated and showing them that we're pushing along, I think there's not one needed.
I mean, like I mentioned in the tagging committee, clearly we have continued to work on it. And so,
but I'm talking the other departments as far as that have to vet it out.
I don't
want to know what legal thinks, what the IT thinks, what I would like to know. What they're thinking, you know, what their thoughts are. Are they as excited about it as we are and stuff like that? So updates as to what's being thought is.
Yeah, I'll offer this. I appreciate that. I do. I don't think setting a meeting date, that being a driver when we have, you know, the target date is to start selling permits January 1st, I'm guessing, right, like before.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way, there are several steps. I don't want to call a meeting and then feel bad about saying I didn't get with CAO yet, okay? Because they're backlog X, Y, and Z, or IT is busy testing hardware. So I would just say we can meet anytime you want. We may not have an update for you if you pick a date that we haven't got information from yet.
Okay. I'm not talking about a meeting. I'm talking about an email like, hey, subcommittee got together. They got the cable. Subcommittee got together. They've tested it. We've passed this along to IT. They're looking at it. We've passed this along to, you know.
Well, why don't we establish a set time then? How about that? How about we establish, if that'll work for you, that we, you know, if it's weekly or every other week, we send a summary of what's been accomplished.
I don't need to hear every time one little thing's done.
Okay. Yeah, right. That's what I'm talking
but
about.
But, yeah,
if
we could do like.
Yeah, weekly updates would be great.
Yeah, like every Thursday would be great. If you just say, this is what happened this week, and even, you know, hear from the subcommittee and RFID and all that stuff. That'd be great. Just a summary once a week, I think, would be great.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we commit? Is every about Thursday? I know we have holiday. Thursday.
Whatever
works
best.
We're fine if you guys.
I know you guys don't work Monday through Thursday.
Between Thursday and that weekend. Let's do that.
Well, because with the task force meeting on Thursday nights, then the subcommittee, you'll be getting our information a week later, unless we switch, you know, maybe the days that we're meeting.
Day doesn't matter to me. Yeah. Whatever works best for you guys.
Okay.
Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
It's the whole weekend if there's no Monday. And it gives us a time to feedback our stuff if we continue to meet Thursday.
Is there a way that the subcommittee, or I'm sorry, Brett. Is there a way that the task force could know, okay, we have XX, just like Holly did for the presentation, of how many check marks we need, how many, you know, what do we need to go through, and then identify an end timeline that everybody has to meet on this date to accomplish this for 2020, which could be beginning of October, September, whatever that date is, but objectives of where we, so we can see bottlenecks.
Feel good, like a
Gantt chart, a construction chart, right, where they build a building.
Like a work plan, we could do that. We could do that. It would take just a little bit of time because we need, for example, with the people that are involved, need to reconvene those folks and identify those objectives.
Yeah.
So we can get there, yes, because it'll take a little bit of time.
Because we don't know what happens behind the scenes here.
Right, yeah.
That's what we want to be informed of.
Sure.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And that includes what's going on with the subcommittee.
Yeah, so what we could, as I'm thinking here, we'll start with the Monday updates. And in there, we'll talk about not only what we've done, but also what we have coming up for targets, and we'll work on the work plan Gantt chart opportunity, too.
Awesome.
And the goal is everything done by October 1st to place that order of locks.
Well, I mean, I don't know that everything, like, attorneys may not have signed off on the new permit holder agreement. That doesn't necessarily preclude us from ordering the locks.
Right. I mean, yeah, the lock timeline is one point.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Right.
There's 20 other things that got to get done, and their deadline is next. Is February. What did it say on your thing? You want to be done before you mailed out the packet in February.
It sounded like a fall solution, kind of like at least solidified.
Yes.
So you have a streamlined direction moving forward.
Yeah, once I have, I mean, maybe I am ordering that swage and cable from the same company I ordered before, but now we're taking it to an individual that's local, that's machine engraving, each of them. So that was a 3-month lead time on that cable. We know we've got, 3-4 months on the Noki. So, I mean, yeah.
Awesome.
RFID tag, I have no idea, but we're going to keep moving. Yeah,
that's
it may
right.
never happen. So we'll keep moving forward with the Secure XP, but... Like I said, we just got around to that because it was just yesterday that we realized we could put the eye seal back together and you couldn't visually see it. So now it's on to the next one.
Sure.
Awesome.
Jason, do you see any budgetary problems? I mean, locks, cables, is there anything weird that we need to know about?
From a budgetary standpoint, no. From a policy standpoint, I mean, I can't see IT having, well, I can't speak for them, but I have to at least talk with them and talk about how we integrate this into the city's platform and all that. I don't see any issues with that right now.